kind of beat that sticks to your soul. You know who you are and where you're from.
This is Shelley Tomlinson, Belle of All Things Southern, and you're listening to the All Things Southern podcast, brought to you by Jim Taylor Chevrolet in Rayville, Louisiana.
Mama fills up our plates, Papa's saying grace, Louisiana living sweet as sugar on beignets.
Welcome back, old friends, and any new guests who have found your way to All Things Southern. I'm delighted to have you. This is Shelley. In this week's episode of All Things Southern, I'll be visiting with Rhonda Stoppie, also known as the No Regrets Woman. Rhonda and her husband, Pastor Steve Stoppie, have released a new book called The Marriage Mentor. It's a valuable resource, and Rhonda, well, she's a great communicator. You'll love her. Of course, I'll also share from the All Things Southern kitchen, and I'll close with a few devotional thoughts. Right now, let's chat. I am eager to invite you to join me for Giving Thanks, a Christmas adventure. Does that title throw you? It sounds like I've smushed Thanksgiving smack dab into Christmas, doesn't it? Let me explain. For years now, I've been on a quest to learn how to live Christmas with Jesus instead of doing Christmas the way the world does. Many of you have been sharing that journey with me through my Advent devotionals. During that time, you've also joined me in another passion of mine, 30 Days of Thankfulness. It's been such a privilege to have y'all, my readers, join me for more than a decade of Novembers, reaching out to those around us with tangible expressions of thanksgiving. No doubt, we'll have 30-day drives again in the future. This year, however, I'm inviting you to join me on an entirely new adventure, a Christmas adventure. Our goal will be the same, to say an emphatic no to commercialism and a passionate yes to His presence. Only this year, we'll do it by focusing on living gratefully. Indeed, it may seem ironic for our gratitude march to begin in December rather than November, but it makes perfect sense once you think about it. The more grateful we live, the less acceptable we'll be to the Christmas crazies. We'll have 2 weeks of daily devotionals that will begin on the first day of Advent, December the 2nd, and culminate on December the 15th. By then, we'll be knee-deep in the season and hopefully well-positioned to live it out gratefully. I actually wrote our gratitude study a few years back. Around that same time, a brilliant wordsmith was releasing a book on the topic that blessed many readers around the world. So with the exception of sharing with the girls at my home church and writing a few blog posts on the subject, I kept my findings close. The lessons I took away from that study, however, have continued to challenge me and change me. The good news, when I remember to breathe in and be grateful for this moment without trying to live in the next one, I get to drain the sweetness from precious moments, and I can sense God tempering the pain of the hard ones. The bad news? I'm a remedial learner. Like an addict recognizing the need for accountability, I'm here to spill my guts toward the goal of recovery. I can still use the moment I'm in like a holding cell. I'm guilty of shortchanging now with thoughts of later. Sometimes it's over the excitement I feel about something good I'm anticipating. Other times it's dread, but both can make me miss now. I remember when I first became intrigued by the Greek word eucharisteo. At its core, the word speaks to me of a way of life I began calling living thanksgiving. A grateful acknowledgement to God of this moment, right here, right now. I began whispering these words in good times and in bad. Thank you, God, for this moment, right here, right now. It has helped me establish the habit of living thanksgiving. But frankly, I need a refresher course. I do. So I'm going to walk back through my notes. Should you want to spend some time embracing the idea of living thanksgiving, subscribe for the daily emails by going to belleofallthingssouthern.com and leaving your sweet email address in the pop-up. Each morning I'll have a short devo for you. No homework, no memorization, just a few daily words of encouragement, with the goal of walking through the season with a grateful heart instead of a grasping one. And speaking of gratitude, have you heard? Pringles is back this year with their Thanksgiving dinner-flavored potato chips. Must history repeat itself? Longtime listeners will remember that strange back and forth I had several years ago with that Jones Soda Company. If you missed that, I'm talking about the company that sent me those weird soft drinks, all free grata, as if I, your southern hostess, was going to recommend turkey and gravy soda to another living soul. I told y'all way back then that not being wasteful is so ingrained in my DNA, I had a hard time throwing those nasty soft drinks away. I confess to keeping those silly things in the door of my fridge for months, like I half expected someone to drag themselves into the kitchen, prop their weary selves up at my snack bar, and say, "I'd give my last dollar for a swig of green bean casserole soda." Of course, that didn't happen, but Jones Soda persisted with their gift-giving madness. Kudos to them for tenacity. Eventually, though, their curious gift boxes quit coming, and I heard they were no longer producing their holiday packs because it wasn't economically feasible. I can't imagine that was a big news flash to anyone, anywhere. And yet, here's Pringles, again, with similar nonsense for the second year in a row. Last year, they offered a full Thanksgiving meal with all the flavors. But this year, they're already down to turkey stuffing and pumpkin pie chips. Some people are slow learners. Finding a gratitude angle on this story wasn't easy, but here you go. Pringles' offering was limited, and by the time you hear this, it'll be over. For another year, anyway. Happy Thanksgiving!
You're listening to Shelley Tomlinson's All Things Southern Radio Show. Check out Shelley's award-winning website, www.allthingssouthern.com. And now, once again, here's Shelley.
Welcome back to All Things Southern. I am visiting with Rhonda Stoppy, also known as the No Regrets Woman. Thank you for taking the time to be by All Things Southern, Rhonda, and welcome.
Friend, I'm so happy to be hanging out with you again virtually. One day we're going to hang out in real life, but I'll take what I can get. So this is awesome. Thanks, friend.
You are most welcome. And I love that idea of an actual sit down. Maybe we can make that happen one day soon. But let's jump right into the topic that has you by All Things Southern today. I know that you and your husband, Steve Stoppy, have pastored First Baptist Church in Patterson, California for almost 20 years. I know that y'all have spoken at marriage conferences, you've been rescuing troubled marriages, and mentoring other couples for years now. Tell me, what was it that you were seeing out there that made you know you needed to stop and write The Marriage Mentor?
We have watched the enemy attack marriages. And when he can undermine the fiber of a marriage in your home, man, he's got you. He renders your prayers powerless when you're holding resentment against your spouse for not measuring up to your expectations. I mean, think of that for a minute. That means if the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous one accomplishes much, if you are not walking in righteousness, and I am not talking about that one point in time action when you surrendered your heart and soul to Jesus as the master of your life, we are made righteous and washed with the blood of Christ at one point in time when we enter into that relationship. But then we have to walk in a way, a manner worthy of our calling. We have to not let the Spirit be quenched in our lives. And what happens when we look to our spouse to be the source of our happiness or find our worth in how they treat us? When they don't measure up to their expectations, resentment comes. And honestly, looking to a person, whether it's your spouse or your kids or anyone, loving you well so that you can find your worth in that, That's really idolatry. And it really is not God's intent. He is the one, the master of our lives, that says, I treasure you. I value you. I created you to know you intimately and to make myself known to you. But we have watched one too many happily ever Cinderella story, and we believe our happiness lies in the spouse that's going to sweep us off our feet. So Steve and I together put our heads together and we wrote a book to the people that say, I'm not a reader. And we say, you're a reader. You read social media all day long. How can we write a book that you'll feel like you're hanging out with an older couple who really deeply cares about helping you build the marriage that you long for?
That is so good. You know, I was thinking when you were talking about, you know, that point in our life where we make that commitment, we give our life to Christ and we ask Him to make us brand new, and to differentiate that between where the love of Christ Jesus, the grace, the guidance, the presence, that everything that is in this beautiful salvation, the width and depth and length of it, is found when we get up and we die again that next day, and we get up and we die again that next day to live to Him. That, and you're listening to someone talking from experiences, worlds away from making a decision for Christ and then trying to walk it out on your own. Amen. I mean, we wake up and we die and we say, this is your life. When you have two people married and they wake up and they die to themselves and live to Christ, then they can operate in the type of marriage that you're encouraging. Take us back to that moment when you realized that marriage wasn't going to be a Hallmark movie accidentally.
For me, I just remember being tired. I worked full time. I tried to keep a perfect house. I put standards on myself to measure up to be the wife that I thought I needed to be. And I wore myself out. My career was doing well. My house was, you know, pretty picture perfect. But what I was worn out and tired, I didn't have time to pour into the relationship with my spouse. That's who I married. I didn't married to be a housewife. I married to be His wife. And so I knew I needed help. And so as I looked to couples that were the parents of the youth in our youth ministry at the time, the ones who still held hands, laughed at each other's jokes, who their kids wanted to spend time with them. Because let's be honest, when our marriages are on the rocks, our kids pretty much stay away or try to, you know, they feel the tension. Even if you're not fighting out loud, the insecurity that comes from a conflicting marriage in the home drives our kids away from us. So mortify the deeds of the flesh, the Bible says. That word mortify means kill it. And when it rears its head, kill it again. And the marriage mentor is a resource to help you become the spouse you long to be for both husbands and for wives.
Did you reach out to a specific couple at that point in your life when you realized you needed a marriage mentor? And did you find that to be easy?
What I found from these women, in fact, in the front of the marriage mentor, I acknowledged them by name and thanked them. Oh, I'm getting all choked up because they're a step ahead of me. Wow. They're a step ahead of me in life. And some of them I'm watching now become widowed and say goodbye to that spouse for that lifetime partnership that they so enjoyed. And I'm now learning from them how to grieve with hope. They are the deepest treasures in my life because I know that God stepped into my world through these women who were not perfect. They were real. They were genuine. They invited me to come to Bible study with them. I'm like, ladies, I don't need another Bible study. I just want to be a better wife. And they laughed at me and invited me to work with them through the book of Philippians, which changed my life forever. In fact, I've memorized all of Philippians chapter 4 and most of Philippians 1 because I know that's where the rubber meets the road for me. So I tell a story in the marriage mentor. Our oldest son, Tony, was at A&M University, and he was he's a fighter pilot in the Air Force now. In fact, he's almost ready to retire. He's a lieutenant colonel. But when he was a young kid, freshman, he was the head of his unit, and the ROTC program at A&M required they got up in the morning and basically went through basic training before they went to class. And in his unit, there was a woman. And she would always fall behind when they were trying to get across the finish line at the right time. And the morale was low. The leaders of the command said, your time doesn't count till she crosses the finish line. So Tony decided to fall back and run with his hand in the small of the back of the woman to help her keep pace. And he said, as long as he did that, she finished on time with the group. When he let go, she fell behind. And in our marriages, I love that as a picture. God calls us in Philippians to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, to run the race that he has set before us with our eyes on Christ. What happens is we take our eyes off Christ. We start looking to our spouse for the strength that God wants to give us. But if we would both run for all we're worth, the life that God is calling us to run, which is to forsake all, to follow him, to make Christ known in this generation, beginning with our children, if you have them. And if your husband, if you just reach over and put your hand in the small of her back and help her run her race, wow, that's a marriage of no regrets. That's a marriage that God can use to shine brightly the light of the gospel in a world that is desperate to believe that knowing Jesus really does make a difference. I meet parents all the time that say, I will do anything for my kids to be successful. And they do. They put them in sports and dance and whatever sacrifice they have to make for college, but they're not willing to roll up their sleeves and do the hard work of building a marriage that is loving, forgiving, and kind. And your kid will never be more secure and equipped for life than when they see mom and dad choosing to love each other in spite of disappointments and to love each other with Christ's love that is selfless.
Wow. That was so good. You know, I think so much, Rhonda, of how hard the enemy fights marriage. And it's because the marriage is a picture of the body of Christ, Jesus and his church, Jesus and his bride. And that is what you and your husband, me and my husband, that is what we're depicting, is that union between Christ and his church. So, I mean, there's no surprise that the enemy doesn't want that picture to look good. And then he is going to spend so much time trying to tear our marriages apart. So we need you. We need marriage mentors showing other people how to, you know, how it looks and what does it look like to really stay in love and to nurture that relationship. Now, I know that you and Steve have, y'all have done marriage seminars, y'all have spoken on marriage, y'all have held retreats, you've worked together as a team to mentor people for a while, but I do believe that this is the first time that he has jumped into a book with you. Am I right?
Because he went kicking and screaming, girlfriend. He's like, I don't want to write a book. That's not my thing. And he did an amazing job. And what I love about Steve is he's just a guy's guy. He's a pastor, but he worked in construction for years. He knows what it's like to have to keep your eyes diverted when someone walks by the job site or listening to the things that the guys are talking about on the job. He understands having a wife who had postpartum after our third child.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that because it brings me to such a strength of this book. And that is the way y'all set it up. Explain to those listening how Steve weighs in.
He wrote in these gray boxes and he's like, guys, your wife just read the long version. I'm giving you the cliff notes of what your wife read. So just read these gray boxes. And I always tell wives, just get your husband to take a picture of the gray boxes with his cell phone and take it to work and read it on his break. And then if you still can't get your spouse to read, Steve and I did free videos that go along with each chapter. You can watch those on my website, noregretswoman.com. If you click on the Marriage Mentor book and scroll down, you'll see our videos. They're fun. They're organic, which Steve's like, what does that word even mean? Why are we saying organic? I'm like, because they're not produced. He's a crap up. In fact, Steve said on the first video to the guys, I know you don't want another marriage book thrown in your face. I know you don't want to be watching these videos any more than I want to be making these videos. But I care about your marriage. You care about your marriage. So let's roll up our sleeves and let's do the hard work to build the marriage with no regrets.
Oh, that makes me smile. You don't want to watch videos. I don't want to make them, but we both want a strong marriage. And so I agree. I love his approach. You know, you write throughout the book and then he jumps in with this gray box. I mean, that is so perfect for the way men and women communicate. You know, so you're talking to the woman. She needs all these words. She wants to read all these words. But you're going to try to get your man to do that. Then you are fighting a losing battle. And so I love the fact that your man, he steps in and he says, no, look, just read this. And there is a small gray box that will explain everything that you were saying. I mean, that was Holy Spirit inspired. That was great work right there. And I want everyone to read The Marriage Mentor And then I want them to get from you and your husband ideas on how to reach out to people around them to find a mentor. Now, you get into this in your book. Give us a little bit of a taste of what you think works as far as, do you just let that happen, let that evolve? Do you ask someone? Are you sending a formal invite to your mentor? How would you suggest getting started?
The Bible says you have not because you ask not. When I was looking for a biblical marriage, one that was real, that I could enjoy, my mom was a teenager when she had me. I was her second child. My parents got married as teenagers and they grew up together. And I watched them. My dad came to Christ when I was 4 years old and it transformed my father's life. I got to lead my mom to the Lord 6 months before she passed away 2 years ago, which is such a blessing. But my husband's mother was had Alzheimer's, and there was just not a good place I could go for what I really wanted to see was the marriage I wanted to emulate. But I asked the Lord to give me guidance and to direct me. So I say, first, you have to ask God, show me who, and then be willing to just go to them and ask some questions. You know, how did you guys, how come you're so happy all these years? What was the one thing you attribute to your marriage being something that has lasted this long? Or maybe going to a woman's Bible study, start there. Listen to the women. As you're studying the word with women, God will knit your hearts together in a very real and genuine way that you won't find just having a cup of coffee, chatting with someone at a coffee shop. Because when you roll your sleeves up, you do the same homework all week long, you meet with each other and you talk about what God's teaching you, things in your past that he's forgiven you of. If women will always say, I'm going to write that letter to my younger self. Well, that's a great letter, but if it doesn't get read by the younger generation, then what good is it? So if I'm willing to be vulnerable and say, hey, this is what I wish I would have done differently. And also, let me just talk to the women that are our age. I'm 57 years old. The women that should be being mentors are collecting seashells by the seashore. They're not investing in the lives of the younger generation. And it is not a suggestion by the Lord. It's his mandate. It is the journey woman training the apprentice mandate of God.
Rhonda, if I could jump in there, and then if you can hold your thought, I just want to really sit there a second, because it's such a soapbox issue of mine. We retire many times in the body of Christ. Older women retire from the Christian community, and we just kind of let the younger people just like figure it out. And it is completely against the biblical teaching of Titus that teaches us to mentor those who are coming after us in the faith. So I'm just so glad that you hit that so hard, and that we need that. We need that challenge to speak into each other's lives, and we need the encouragement. And this is what I have found many times. Women, and I'm 55, so I'm right there with you, but I know that women our age, the enemy can convince them that the younger generation do not want to hear what they have to say. And it is a lie, because what I have found is au contraire. The younger women are just crying out. They're just like looking out saying, like, speak into my life, teach me, show me, train me. So, you know, I just wanted to put that to rest right there. Now, I'm sorry, back to what we were saying.
I have found that wherever I speak at women's events across the nation, women will come and ask me to be their mentor, which I just can't. I mentor the women in our church and in my own family, but I can mentor them through the pages of the books, which is where the marriage mentor came from. I think that sometimes older women don't even realize. I remember when I was raising kids, even to spend $10 on a book, I couldn't do it. It was like not in my budget. So even if you're not going to sit down with a woman and go through the book with her, maybe buy her a copy. It's a great wedding gift. It's what Steve and I do, 6 weeks of premarital counseling before Steve will marry a couple. And all of what we teach couples is in there. If there's a couple that is just really struggling, if there's a couple that's on the top of the world, if they can get this in their hands and say, how does God want me to take this information and share it or apply it to my marriage? Or can I just gift it to a newlywed or someone that I think will benefit from it? And I am an evangelist at heart. All of my books have how to have a relationship with Jesus in the back of the book. Because we can talk all day long about how to have a happy marriage, but that's not what people need. They need Jesus. And so that's a wonderful gift to give someone who doesn't know Christ and can't figure out why it doesn't make sense.
I agree. I could not agree more. Put this in the hands of young couples that are getting married, couples that are getting remarried. I mean, you know, that's at every turn as well. Anyone that's coming into the covenant relationship with Christ and with a spouse, I cannot think of a better gift than to put into their hands the marriage mentor so that they can start out their life together, learning to relate. I know you've been busy getting the word out there.
Steve and I got to go be on Focus on the Family and talk about the marriage mentor. And again, my husband's like, that's not my thing. That's your thing. He likes to preach and he likes to look at one-on-one in the face, but he did such a great job. And I just got an email from them yesterday. They're going to re-air the show here and also in Canada. And 2 to 3 million people will be listening again. I am in shock. I'm in awe of what God has done just through our heart to reach into the lives of others and say, you can have the marriage you long for. Here's some biblical resources to take to heart to transform your marriage or to transform yourself by the word of God and by his truth. I'll just hit on some of the titles of the chapters is, our marriage would be better if bad things would stop happening. And Steve in the videos talks about his accident. He shattered his hip in a dirt bike accident. He was in traction for 9 days. At the same time, pipes froze in our house and it flooded 5,000 gallons in the water in our house. Crazy stuff. One of the points that Steve says, and I love in the book, is he says, you know, life, marriages can be happy and joyful and sad and difficult. And then he says, but such is life for all of us. And I love knowing that because I think with social media, we look at other people's marriages and we think they're happy. Why can't I be that happy? We measure ourselves against everybody putting their best foot forward. Everybody has seasons of struggles, of disappointment, of illness, of financial calamity, of all kinds of issues that God allows to trickle through his loving fingers to knit our hearts together in love for him. And his ways are above ours. His thoughts are above ours, as high as the heavens are above the earth. So God's ways are above ours. So the world, there's a teaching, you know, God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and prosperous. And if you just ask in faith, nothing bad will touch your life. That's a lie from the enemy. And if you believe
that,
you're going to distrust the Father when things start coming through your life that you didn't expect. Instead, know him in the word of God, know his character, know that he sees, that he hears, that he loves you more than you can imagine. And he's more interested in you having a happy marriage than you are. But let him do the work in you, and then you can pray powerfully for him to do the work in your spouse as well.
I could not agree more. That is one of the most destructive lies that the enemy has sold the church. And to tell someone that's new in the faith that everything is going to be wonderful and roses, I mean, you could not do anyone a greater disservice, because the Bible itself says, Jesus, you know, the red words, that we are going to have tribulation. I believe instead we should be saying, you know, you are going to have tribulation in this world, but the difference is the Holy Spirit of God is going to be living in you. He wants to walk out this life with you, the good, the bad, the ugly, the hard, the wonderful, the exciting, the depressing. He wants to walk it all out with you. I think oftentimes when we, if we do not say that, you know, you alluded to, then things start happening in people's lives and they can feel like, well, it's not true. You know, God's not true, or he's not on the up and up with me, when he cannot lie. We are the ones that can distort things, but he cannot lie. So let's make sure that we get that straight. Amen. Before we wrap up, Rhonda, tell me how you would like to see people use the marriage mentor.
You're all things Southern, girlfriend, but I'm a California girl. People don't meet at each other's houses. They go to the coffee shop. But if you would open your home and invite a few couples in to go through the book together, it stimulates some amazing conversation. You can watch the videos online for free. You can find them on my website. They're on my YouTube channel also, noregretswoman.com. And you can watch these 20-minute videos with the couple. And it stimulates some great conversation springboards, you being able to be the mentor God is calling you to be. I can't express that enough. Don't lay down on the job. I look on the internet and one woman will put one post, you know, my three-year-old still hasn't potty trained. And you'll get a whole list of 20-somethings telling them what to do, what books to read, how to do this, how to do that. And then you'll see a middle-aged woman saying, it's okay. They'll get it when they're ready. And you're like, there she is. It's not a race, not a contest. The old ladies know stuff.
Oh, I love that. I love to see her swoop in and go, you know what, sweetie? I've yet to see one in diapers in the first grade. You're okay. Take a deep breath. Let's do that. Let's speak peace into younger women's lives and let's teach them about the beautiful covenant of marriage. Rhonda Stoppy, you and your man, Steve, do a marvelous job with that. And I commend you. I just speak blessings on you. And I pray that this book finds its way into many, many
hands. Thank you
hands.
So much. Praise the Lord. And it's published through Harvest House Publishers. I love them and I love the working with them. They're so committed to publishing work that is sound in doctrine.
And a big shout out to Harvest House Publishers for that. Thank you for being by All Things Southern. You'll
I'd
have to
love
come
to.
Back.
Swinging.
Yeah, just a swing. You're listening to Shelley on All Things Southern.
Welcome back to the All Things Southern Kitchen. The truth, I've never been a fan of molded cranberry, but I've always had it on my Thanksgiving table because my dear Papa is a guest and he is a fan of the canned offering. However, a couple Thanksgivings ago, I started whipping up a cranberry relish of my very own to serve alongside it. Blame it on Sandra Lee, Bobby, Giada, and the rest of them. But I was watching the Food Network again, and lo and behold, I had to try my hand at my very own cranberry relish. I took a few ideas from this one and a couple ideas from that one, and voila, it was a huge hit at our house. We found it to be delicious with the turkey and the rolls, and I'm thinking it would even be tasty with chips. Just not those chips we mentioned earlier. I'm always on the lookout for a new dip, you know. Listen in, and I'll walk you through my steps. It's incredibly simple. I take 2 cups of fresh cranberries in a can, not the molded ones, the berries. I send them through the food processor to break them down. Then I combine them with chopped bell pepper, seeded and diced jalapenos, and chopped white and green onions. Season this with chopped cilantro, lime juice, cumin, salt, and sugar. Once everything is combined, chill it in the fridge for at least 30 minutes before serving. And enjoy! You can find this recipe printed out at allthingssouthern.com. And that's my cranked up cranberry relish, and it's mighty good eating from the All Things Southern kitchen to yours. Let's open the Word together before we go. Psalms 95:2 reads, "Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song." I sent the following story to my immediate family group text recently. I loved it so much, I went on to post it on social media, and now I want to share it with y'all. "Dear family," I wrote, "this morning I ran across the story of a man from the early 1800s named Edward Caswall. Dear Edward wrote a hymn called May Jesus Christ Be Praised. But the thing is, he couldn't seem to finish it. Over the course of his life, Edward added 28 more stanzas to his song. May we be as overcome with the presence of Jesus today. So overcome that we can't quit adding to our praise. That's it for this week, folks. Until next time, may the good Lord bless and keep you, make His face to shine upon you, and give you peace. This is Shelley with Hugs for All.